Lord, thank you for your word tonight. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. What an honor it is to be called a child of God, to be in the presence of the living God without a sense of guilt or inferiority, knowing that we're welcome at the throne of God, at your throne. We worship you tonight and ask you to speak to our hearts. Bless those that are hearing this word tonight, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're giving us not only ears to hear, but also, you're giving us power to act on the Word of God. Because we're not hearers only, but doers of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. No matter how long you've been working with the Lord, or walking with the Lord, I should say, hearing is not enough. Hearing is great, but you have to put it into practice. Yes. Amen? Yes. Or else we are deceiving ourselves according to the Scripture. Amen? So I'm going to put out a disclaimer first before I start the message. We're going to talk about 8 points on how to possess your promised land. And the disclaimer is this: you must put God first place. You must stay vitally connected to the vine. That would be Jesus. You must obey Him and follow His promptings. It takes obedience. You know, I just want to make sure we put that disclaimer. Isaiah 1, 19 and 20 says this: if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, uh-oh, somebody say, uh-oh, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And then, of course, you have 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 as part of our disclaimer. And that is that Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in, somebody say, obeying? Obeying, obeying the what? The voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of what? Divination, some people witchcraft in your translation, and presumption is as the iniquity of idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Now we are not going to reject the word of the Lord, amen. But this was a very, very hard word to Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king. Now, with that being said, we are in the new covenant, and there is a grace present today that was not present with Saul. However, we don't want to take advantage of that grace and see how far you can get by disobeying God, thinking that you're going to possess any promised land at all. Are you listening to me? So let's walk circumspectly. Let's understand that we're playing for keeps. I know the devil plays for keeps. We have an adversary that he's roaming around as a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is, but he's seeking whom he may devour. And as we say around here, he may not devour us as long as you're being obedient. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay, so now that was the disclaimer. Let's go with this idea of the promised land. All of us really want and should be wanting to live, walk, and fulfill God's will for our lives. It's a place of humility, a place of obedience, a place of presence, abundance of grace. It's a place of anointing, abundance of peace, always abounding in faith, hope, and love, and abounding in good works and thanksgiving. That is what I'll call a parallel to a promised land. Amen. And we'll talk a little more about promised land, but we're speaking figuratively tonight, because we're not going over to, you know, Israel right now. That's not what's happening. But listen what the apostle said here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 in the English Standard Version. It says this: therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands. Everybody say, still stands.
Still stands.
Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Is it possible to reach the plan of God and get to that place called there? Yes. Is it possible to miss it?
Yes.
Yes. And this is the New Testament. It's possible to miss it. It's possible to miss your place called there. A place of expanse, a place of blessing, a place where you're anointed, where God has prepared it for you since before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. There are callings. You know that I love what it says in the book of Ephesians. It says that He prepared for you paths that you should walk before the foundation of the world. So we're not an accident, and there is a master plan, and He's the master architect. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's the master architect. So notice what it says. So there, while the promise of entering into His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news, watch this, came to us just as it did to them in the Old Testament. But the message that they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter into rest as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Although His works, listen, were finished from the foundation of the world. I'm only saying this, friends, because God has a perfect place for you. It's a place of anointing. It's a place of unction. It's a place of freedom. It's a place of peace. It's a place of grace. To know whether, no matter what the devil throws at you, you're still standing.
That's right.
God is in it. God is in your life. He's in you, on you, all around you. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You want to be in the will of God. Hallelujah. So now let's go to the crux of the message, and we're going to use the parallel of what happened in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. You're all familiar with the fact that, first of all, God promised them a promised land. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, this would be, we're going to talk about promised land in a little bit, but He commanded Moses in Numbers chapter 13. He said, go and send out spies. And you know the story. There were mixed reviews. And it was heavy on the negative side. Is that right? He says, look, the place is good. The place that God has ordained for us, it's a good place. Is that right? There's rich fruit there. However, the mixed review came from the 10 spies that sided in with each other to say, but the people there were huge. But it was heavily fortified. But this and but that, they had the descendants of Anak there. Now, I'm not really, I can't say that I'm a scholar like that. I mean, I know people that are, but the descendants of Anak were real big, real tall. I want to think 9 feet. Okay, they were like 9 feet tall. And so these spies that turned against the report of the Lord, right? Or they turned against the commandment of the Lord. They got scared off by these giants. And so they said things like, they said such things as, we are not able to go up and take care of business. We're not able to go up and possess our land called there. Now listen carefully. There is a parallel to this message, and there is a perfect place for every one of you. A perfect place. A place where you fit just right in the body of Christ and in different areas and everything that surrounds your life, right? But it takes many times faith to step into that. Are you listening? Now, you see that in verse 39, or verse 30 of Numbers 13, I believe it was, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, meaning the land, for we are well able to overcome it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would like to think that I'm in that category.
Amen.
I would like to think that you are in that category.
Yes.
Of course, the other men in 31 said, we're not able to go up. They're stronger than we are, right? So then we go into I believe it's chapter 14. It says, listen to this. All the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Listen carefully. And all the people of Israel, what did they do? They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, would that we would have died in the land of Egypt. These people are going directly against the promise of God. Are you listening to me? That's, and also, it's directly against his commandment and his plan. Don't do that. Don't go against God's plan for your life. Don't do that. Don't go against the word of God. And it says, would it not be better that we were back in Egypt? And then the big crescendo was in verse 4. And they said to one another, let us choose a leader. I want another leader. And let's go back to Egypt. You know, now there's a very sad story to this, but in verse I can't tell what that is because it printed funny, but Moses and Aaron fall on their face, and then Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, they were among the ones that went to spout the land, and this is what they said. The land, this is a text really, which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. Everybody say exceedingly. If the Lord delights, say delights, in us, he will bring us, say bring, into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with what? Milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Amen. All right, so that's our text. Numbers 14, chapter 7. Verse 7b through 9, verse 9. And we're going to take this. This message became very clear. Are you ready to let God speak to you? I'm not interested in the fact that people are just hearing somebody speak. It's, are you going to hear God speak to you? Let God speak to you. The phrase, a land that flows with milk and honey, is most commonly found in the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament. It's used to describe the promised land, the land that God promised to give the descendants of Abraham, particularly the Israelites. In this context, it symbolizes a place of abundance, prosperity, and fertility. Now, I got to get that disclaimer going again. Keep your heart right. We're not here to get condos and Cadillacs. We're here to serve God. Are you listening to me? Just want to make sure. The term milk, often interpreted as a symbol of nourishment and sustenance, it represents the agricultural richness of the land. It's a rich place. When God puts you in a certain place, you're supposed to be planted there, and it's supposed to be rich. It's supposed to be rich. Offering abundance. It's rich in resources. Offering abundance, ease of life, and a sense of fulfillment. Now, somebody will say, now, wait a minute. That sounds like a vacation. Well, we're not here on vacation. We're on assignment. But our Lord and Savior said this. Take my yoke upon... Learn of me. For my yoke is...
easy.
And my burden is...
light.
Is that right? He's the one that said that. I'm not going to put anything ill-fitting on you. He said, my burden is light. So what we're talking about here is when you're in your place called there, there's a grace on you to no matter what comes at you, no matter what the enemy hits you, or you know, life can be kind of mean sometimes. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a grace upon you to be able to weather, somebody say weather, weather the storm.
Yes.
Amen. To weather the storm, to have peace in the middle of a storm. And I don't have to tell you what some storms look like. Some of them are relational storms. Some of them are physical storms. The enemy comes and things happen to our physical bodies and you have to stand. Is that right? You got to stand on the word of God and keep your peace. Are you listening to me in TV land? Keep your peace. Hold fast to the word of God. If you're facing that, many times it's a financial storm that comes against your life. Sometimes it's something occupational. Sometimes it's something legal. Have you ever, anybody in here ever been in a legal battle before? You know, where you had to deal with oh, there's a person right there. I won't ask questions. But we had to deal with lawyers and timelines and depositions and this and that and the other thing. And it's expensive and it looks like it's going on forever. But there's grace. Yes. I said there's grace. Yes. If you're in the right place. Yes. And you're seeking His face. I had to throw that in there. Oh, you got to seek His... Can we just stop for a minute? All of this is predicated on the fact that you've got to be a worshiper of God. Amen. You've got to seek His face. You got to put the kingdom of God first. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, the best thing you could do if you're in a legal battle or you're in a physical battle is put all the doctor's reports aside, all the depositions aside. If you're in a financial situation, all the bills aside, just put them in the other room and go into a quiet place and begin to worship God and begin to stir yourself up in Him. Do like David did in Ziklag. He began to encourage himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. God, I thank You that nothing is impossible with You. Thank You that all things are possible to him that believes. I thank You that You are my Jehovah Rapha. I thank You that You are my Jehovah Shalom. Thank You that You're my restorer, that You are my Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider, that Your provision will be seen. I don't know where it's coming from, but I worship You, Lord. I know it's coming to pass. While other people are wringing their hands, you're on your knees in your living room or in your closet saying, I worship You, God. I thank You that You're making a way where there is no way. Does that make sense, somebody? Hallelujah. Praise God. So the milk is often interpreted as a symbol of nourishment, sustenance. It represents agricultural richness in the land, abundance of livestock like cows, goats, and so forth and so on. Okay, honey is another symbol of sweetness and richness. It's often associated with the land where crops like figs, dates, and so forth were used and thrived. And it suggests a land that's full of natural resources. This church knows that when you are generous and when you put God first and when you sow seeds of time, seeds of finance, seeds of service, that something happens. He's able to do what? Make all things, all grace abound to you. Hallelujah. In what? In abundance. So that you may under all, and I'm in the Amplified version, so that you may in every situation and through any, and in all means, you would be able to be fully supplied. Fully supplied. Full. Hallelujah. Abundance. Abundance is not a dirty word. Hallelujah. I like abundance of grace. How about you? So he said the first thing that he said in Pastor Caleb. This was Caleb. We're referring to you a lot tonight. Okay, see, when they talk about Thomas, it was doubting Thomas. So that's not a great message. They bring up Thomas a lot. But if we're talking about Caleb, that's good. His message, the first thing he said in this 8-point message was, it's an exceedingly good land. First of all, you got to understand that there is such a thing as exceedingly. Exceedingly good. God is good, but He's more than that. He's exceedingly good, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Ephesians 3:20, is that right? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's at work in us. Is that right? And then, of course, to Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Now, let's go to another thing that He said, and that's number two. The Lord delights in us. No, remember in His encouragement, He says, He still the people. The first thing He said was what? What was that first principle that we just talked about? That the land was exceedingly good. Number two, the Lord delights in us. When, I don't know, we need to learn how to love and be loved.
Amen. That's good.
We're desperate for love. We're desperate for the love of God. We're desperate to be loved by each other. But oftentimes this, that, and the other thing have hindered us. But the first thing is we can love because if we can know that we are loved, that God is crazy about us, that He loves us. If we can do that, then it really doesn't matter out there. We're able to love other people. And if they're able to do the same, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, we understand this is a command toward us. Psalm 37, 3 through 5, says something to this effect. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Now watch this. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And what's He going to do? He's going to give you the desires of your heart. But do you think that God would require us to do something that He Himself would not do? The matter of fact is that God delights in you. I mean, you know, it's kind of like God, we've got to get over this. He's not trying, He's not just putting up with us. Oh, Him again. Oh, it's PT again. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, send Him in. Yes, PT. No, He loves us. He's wild about us. Come on. He delights in us. He delights in us. Notice what it says in Zephaniah 3:17, New International Version. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but He will rejoice over you with singing. Think about it. God is rejoicing over you, Miss Tracy. Hallelujah. Maybe more than Andre, but praise the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Look what it says in the voice. I don't know if we have the voice. The Eternal, your God, is standing right here among you. He is the champion who will rescue you. He will joyfully celebrate over you. He just celebrates you. God loves it. He loves it when you get up with morning hair. Oh, I'm bad breath. You go, this is the day the Lord has made. He's like, oh, whoa, let's go down into that bedroom and check out what's going on. He loves us. Yeah. So He celebrates us. Hallelujah. Let's go into the Living Bible. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you. He's the mighty Savior. And He will give you, somebody say, victory. That's the Living Bible. Let's go just two more, okay? Can you give me two more? SEV, Contemporary English Version, says this. He celebrates and sings because of you. And He will refresh your life with His love. The Lord your God wins victory after victory. And what? And His power gives you. And what? He's always with you. I skipped, sorry. And He's always with you. The Good News Translation says this. The Lord will take delight in you and His love. He will give you new life. He will sing and be joyful over you. The Lord your God is with you. His power, here it is, gives you what? Victory. So, you know, I realize we have a covenant with God, and you can say that the covenant is a sort of like, it's like a life contract, but God doesn't do what He does for us because He has to. He wants to. Jesus didn't go to the cross because He had to. He went to the cross because He wanted to. God gave His only begotten Son, not because He had to, but because He loved you that much, He wanted to. Where's your want to?
Amen.
I'm just saying, turn the tables. Oh, Lord, let it be that we would walk with You and talk with You, praise God. And like Psalm 139 and verse 17 says, understand that how precious are Your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them, right? To me, right? And if I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with me. Hallelujah. God loves you that much. Amen. Number three, He will bring us in, said Caleb. He will bring us in. Let's look at Exodus 3:17 in the ESV. It says, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, and so forth and so on, a land land of flowing with what? Milk and honey. So we have a God, and I realize this was another section of scripture, but basically the principle and the character of God is the same. He leads. He wants to bring you into a place of rich fulfillment. Amen. I said rich fulfillment. Do you think that Jesus reached rich fulfillment? There was a grace upon him. Was it easy? Well, she says no. But you know, when he prayed that third time at Gethsemane, the anointing came on him, and he there was a grace for him. So yeah, some things in life aren't easy. Come on. You know as well as I do, some things in life take a fight. You got to fight the good fight of faith. But when the grace of God is on you, come on. I'd rather have the anointing of God on me and go through a little turbulence, which the Bible says is not worthy to be compared to what's in eternity, right? Than to just try to run away from all trouble and just take the easy way out. Come on, friends. How many of you appreciate and protect the anointing of God on your life? There is no better place than the place that God has for you. If you've been ordained to be a soldier in fill in the blank, Afghanistan, I have no idea. I just throw that out there. If that's what you were called to do and the anointing of God is on you, like Pastor Ricky Jr., remember? Pastor Ricky, if that's where the anointing of God is, then 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near me. Did you know he handed out Bibles to all the men in his platoon? Hallelujah. You heard the testimony. It was amazing. It was amazing. Well, you know, some people, you know, you could go to Oakland in the anointing and be just fine. Or you can go in the flesh and go to Danville and get shot. Like, come on, people. I mean, you could go to Black Hawk and get mugged. Come on, people. There's no better place than the will of God. His Spirit will lead you and guide you. The angel of the Lord and it comes around about you and defends you. Come on, friends. Yes. Whew, I'm getting excited up in here. Hallelujah. No matter where you live. Well, I need to move to the burbs. It'll be a little safer out there. You better go where God called you to be. I think so. So he will bring us. So anyway, so we're precious to God. He's thinking about it. Now he will bring us in. I promise that I will bring you, that's right. I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land that flows with milk and honey. Okay, so notice this, that the Lord is your shepherd. He's our shepherd. 23, right? Psalm 23, 1 through 3, English Standard. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in dry, prickly pastures. That's not what it said. Green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now understand, there's multiple ways of approaching green pastures. Some people think peaceful waters, they think they have to go to some place that's, you know, far away and long ago. But did you know peace and green pastures and that could be right where you are in the nasty now and now? Yeah. It could be in Union City. It could be in Oakland. It could be in Brisbane. It can be in Palo Alto. It could be in San Francisco. It could be in Oakland. It could be in Emeryville. It can be anywhere that God has placed you.
Yes.
If you're called there, he will bless and help. Hallelujah. And there will be water to drink, green grass. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Tom, I want to go to the other place. Some people always think that the grass is greener on the other side. Like, come on, friends. The grass is not always greener at the other side. Because wherever you go, there you are. Just suggesting some things. Now, here's another thought. Number four was, he will give it to us. What I really like about this, I like Abraham's attitude. First of all, every good and perfect gift comes from above. We should have this attitude, Lord, whatever it is that you want for me, I want it. You know, and in many cases, there's a lot of responsibility attached to it, but there's a grace to carry it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a grace. But notice this. Notice what happened where Abraham is concerned in Genesis 14, 22 and 23. It says, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord. In other words, I have sworn, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abraham rich. Of course, what happened was Abraham took his, 400 men. They went over there and they overcame the kings that came and raided Sodom and Gomorrah, recovered all. And then the king of Sodom said, oh, you know what? You can have the spoil. And Abraham, whoa, wait a minute. I'm trusting in God. How many of you are trusting in God?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're not going to invalidate what God is doing and try to cheat or steal or sneak a little this or that. The blessing of the Lord is enough. His faithfulness is enough. His promise is enough. And I really should say more than enough. Is that right, Ro? It's more than enough. Hallelujah. So that was Abraham's attitude. Notice what it says in Numbers 33:53 in the English Standard Version. Again, about that it's God that's giving it to you. You've got to understand. It's not your own hand that's taking it. God is giving you. God is giving you that job. God is giving you that house. God is giving you that opportunity. God gave you that spouse. Come on, friends. God opened that opportunity. I got some woo-wees. That's good. That's good. These guys have to say woo-wee. But listen. It's God that is providing. He is the provider.
Amen.
He is the provider of opportunities. You just walk with Him, and it's amazing. You seek first the kingdom of God. You're doing His righteousness, and you're doing what you know to do. You're serving where you're called to serve, and all of a sudden, open heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is that right? Did God open doors for you, Reuben, or did He open doors? It's just amazing. God opens doors. Listen, that no man could shut. Hallelujah. How many of you experienced open doors that no man can shut? Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. So, He gave you the land. Listen, and you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. Oh man, that's rich. Let's review this for a second. Number one, there is an exceedingly good place for you. And let me pause for a second. Have you ever heard the phrase, oh man, that brother's in a really bad place. It's a really bad space. Have you ever heard that before? They're in a really bad space. Well, let's just open this up a little bit more. The land of your life, you could call that a place. Right? You can call that a space. And God wants to make sure that you're in a good place.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that you don't have to think very hard to think of a handful of people that are in a really bad place. They're bound by one thing or another. Is that right? They're like emotionally in a prison. Is that right? There might be habits. There might be addictions. Is that right? There are some people that it could be debt. There's some people that relationally, it's a really hard place. It's a bad place. But thank God that He has given us the ability to work things through, that He could work in us. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He is working to bring exceedingly good things to pass in the land of your life. Amen. If you got teenage kids, He's working on them. Hallelujah. You just keep serving the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you have strain in relationships, you know, no show of hands, but if you have brothers and sisters or aunts, uncles, or even parents that are estranged and it's a really tough situation, you know, these are places where God wants to bring abundance of love. Are you listening to me? abundance of forgiveness, abundance of grace. God can work in that. Amen. So number one, it's an exceedingly good land, so you could be in a good place. Number two, the Lord delights in you. That was two. Number three, He will bring you in. The Bible is very clear that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is that right? Jesus is your good shepherd. Is that right? He's leading you. The voice of another you will not follow. Oh no, but we're going to listen to Him. We're going to follow Him. Amen. And then He will bring you in. He's bringing you in. Number two, He will give it. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Is that right? Now, we're about to close here. And that is, only do not rebel. We only made it to five. That's okay if this is where we park for a little bit. It's so important to understand about rebellion. The biblical term rebel refers to someone who resists or defies authority, particularly the authority of God. And the concept is often linked to sin and disobedience against divine commandment. Now watch this. Disobedient. A rebel is someone who willfully violates laws or commands, showing refusal to comply. Or how about this? A person that's delaying. We're delaying to do it. Well, I'll do it another day. I'll do it another day. And God's saying it. Do it now. Do it now. Stubbornness. Rebellion is often associated with a hardened heart and resists God's guidance and instruction. Are you hearing this? Spiritual consequences. The Bible portrays rebellion as a serious sin, equating it to witchcraft, idolatry, which actively opposes God's authority. Are you listening to me? Well, what happened? I'm just going to give you a summary of what happened to those people. We're going back to Joshua and Caleb in that little section. Because of the Israelites' lack of faith and rebellion against God's command to enter the land, He declared that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that the generation that had doubted Him would not enter the promised land. But are you familiar with the fact that in Numbers 14, 40 through 45, the people were upset about that judgment and they decided to go into battle against the Canaanites in an attempt to take the land? Okay, we're sorry. We messed up. We'll go now. Now we'll go now. Hey, dude, God was not with them. He said, don't go. Are you listening?
Oh my.
Joshua and Caleb said, let's go up at once. Let's do it now. They have the spirit of faith. The other ones didn't have a spirit of faith. When they realized that they were in trouble, they had a more like a spirit of remorse. It says, okay, we're sorry. We'll go up now. It's too late, Raul. It was too late. Notice in 41, the Israelites said to Moses, we've sinned. We'll go up now to the place that the Lord has promised. And then Moses told them that they could not go as God was not with them. Dude, you do not want to be doing life without God. Are you listening to me? Whatever you've got to do, do it to get back in the will of God. Repent. How about that for starters? And then notice this, he said that God was not with them and he wasn't in their plan. Remember, don't think up your plan. You better pray and find out what God's plan is. Verse 43, despite the warning, the people insisted on going and they were defeated. Verse 45, the Canaanites, Amalekites attacked and defeated them because they were not following God's will. How many of you believe that it's better to follow God's will? So this episode illustrates the consequence of not heeding God's timing and guidance. The Israelites' decision to go into battle despite God's disapproval led them to their defeat and further delayed the entrance into the promised land. Oh boy. Well, you know what? I'm going to try to do this in like 3 minutes. Okay, because I've got to let you go. I got to turn this over to Pastor Caleb. But number six on his message was, do not fear the people of the land. No fear in the family of God. You're to honor God, right? If you're going to fear anything, you better reverence God. But no fear. Faith over fear. Caleb's perspective reflects the deep faith in God's promises. He believed that the challenges posed by the inhabitants of the land were not threats, but rather stepping stones to the blessings that God promised.
Yes.
Caleb and Joshua's faith, Caleb and Joshua encouraged the Israelites to trust God, trust His power, trust His promise. They recognized that with God on their side, the giants were not a barrier, but a means to achieve their destiny. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe." Come on, people, we're not supposed to be afraid. God has not given, you know this scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, of love, and a sound mind. Thank you very much. Now, number 7, he said, hey, the Lord is with us, and we won't take a lot of time with that, but it's so important for you to know that God is with you. It's so, you know, maybe this, you're so used to God being with you that maybe you forgot what it's like to not have God with you, but Samson figured out what it was like to not have God with him. Like he was pestered by Delilah again and again. And finally he broke the covenant. He explained what the secret of his power was. And then he got up again and he went, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And so he said, he thought he was going to get up and just do the same thing that he used to do before. He got acclimated to. He thought, everything's cool, I'll just break this like before. And you know what? He couldn't. He couldn't do it because it's the anointing of God that gave him the strength. Just remember this. Jesus said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. We're to abide in the vine, be in obedience to Him, stay in His Word. Is that right?
Yes.
And I, of course, I can do all things, what? Through Christ. Is that right? So we ought to understand that just like Samson, it says that he didn't even know. He got up, I'll just get up and I'll... He didn't even know that the Spirit of God had lifted off of him. Oh God, help us to not get callous like this. And when I say lifted off of you, I'm not saying that you're losing your salvation. But there's such a thing as the spirit of pawn. Is that right? And when you're doing life, you need an anointing.
Yes.
You need an anointing to negotiate that business deal. You need an anointing to build that house. You need an anointing to go on that mission trip.
Amen.
You need an anointing to minister to those kids in the children's room. You need an anointing to be on the platform. It takes an anointing to be a good father, a good husband. An anointing. Don't treat it flippantly. Protect the anointing of God on your life. And then last, you understand that that means that the Lord is with me. I like how Nehemiah said it. The hand of the Lord, the good hand of the Lord was upon me. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know what? I'm gonna skip to number 8, which really is not saying a whole lot because it was the second time he mentioned fear. He said, only do not be afraid of them. So, if this means anything, he mentioned fear twice in his message, right? And I believe he was anointed. I think we should take a word to the wise. We got to get rid of fear. Get rid of the fear of man. Get rid of the fear of rejection. Get rid of the fear of failure. Get rid of it. You've got to resist it. Well, I don't know how to do it. Yes, you do. Stand up and say, in the name, I'll give you an example. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of fear. I take dominion over you and command you to leave me, my home, my loved ones in Jesus' name. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. I have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
My Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Yes.
Therefore, I will arise and not be afraid. I will trust in Him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. Whom shall I be afraid? Well, we're all preaching and everything, but I've got to wind down, everybody. Hallelujah. In closing, you have a promised land. Don't forfeit it. Do not forfeit Do not seek the Lord. Hallelujah. God has plans for you. I like what it says in Jeremiah 29. You know this really well. He says that, I know I have plans for you, says the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Yep. Hallelujah. God loves you. He loves us, man. He really does. And He's got some great things in store for you. Some of you, you have a lot. Some of you have many things to build. Many of you have a lot of inventions to do. You have songs to sing. Hallelujah. You've got business deals. God's got some things going on, some mission deals for you to do. I don't know about you. I'm not backing off. Hallelujah. How are you going to press on to the upward way? New heights we're gaining every day. Just because it may seem like a little strained, don't worry about it. You've got the anointing. You're pressing on the upward way. Is that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah, into the will of God. Lord, I thank You for our friends that have come tonight. I pray, God, that You have encouraged them, that they understand that there is a place called there for them. There are plans that You have for them. I pray that You're witnessing to them. That help us, Lord, to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Help us to follow the promptings of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and to follow our shepherd. Make us a blessing, Lord. Make us a blessing. Like the songwriter said, to be used of God is my desire. Hallelujah. We praise You and we thank You. Hallelujah.